Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Big ups to Denise Salcido for making that for us. Welcome, everybody. You're here. And wrestling, you know, it's funny because we talk about MMA, we talk about pro wrestling, we talk about Lucha Libre. And for the people listening to us, don't forget, you can always check out luchacentral.com. Got so many good shows on there. You know, debut show for us here. We're actually going to be on Tuesdays, but we had to do a kickoff Wednesday show. For the people who are familiar, Kevin Kleinrock, you know, I was over at a different station for a while. And when that kind of, due to this COVID virus, when that kind of went out, you know, Kevin gave me a call. He said, hey, man, why don't you come over here? Let's do some pro wrestling, you know, mix it with some MMA. And I was like, heck yeah, man, just to join the Lucha Podcast Network is huge. So big ups to him for hooking it up and believing. Breaking news, I don't want to butcher this last name, but Michael Aframowicz, who is the CEO of, actually, I'm sorry, the Senior Vice President for Combate Americas. He's coming on. He's going to be coming on in about the 15-minute mark. Kind of, we were expecting him to come on, and then about 5:15, Kevin shoots me a text, hey, look, man, he's going to call. He's going to be ready to go or whatever. So that's cool. We're going to get him on first. I had somebody else booked, but we just moved him down a little bit. So he's going to be coming on at about the 15-minute mark, and then at about the bottom of the hour, Ricky Reyes, who was Cortez Castro for Lucha Underground. I don't know if that's still running up. That's good why we have him on. I'm not too sure if they got renewed for another season. We'll talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about independent wrestling on the East Coast, because a lot of these independent wrestlers got to be hurting with this COVID-19. I mean, they've been off for going on 4 months, you know, so good to talk to him a little bit about the East Coast independent wrestling scene, as well as some of the Lucha Underground, and some, I've known him since he was a kid. He was over here watching pay-per-views, ECW pay-per-views, him and Rocky Romero back when they were just a pup. So we'll get him on at the bottom of the hour. And then at about the 45-minute mark or so, Rick Hahn, Olympic judo competitor who, you know, was fighting in the UFC, and he fought in Bellator. And like myself, he recently had hip surgery. So me, as a pro wrestler and jiu-jitsu practitioner and all that, I've had both hips done, and it took at least a year and a half or so just to get back on the mats or get back in the ring. So I want to, now judo is a whole different story. You got to dig them hips in to throw people. So I don't know if he's going to continue on or just to teach. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the state of mixed martial arts as it is now. As everybody knows, you know, UFC is the only thing going right now. I got to tell you, when I listen to the Dana White, I live to listen to his press conference, because it's just hilarious, the stuff that he comes up with. And the last one that he had after this last fight was really funny. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit about how he's the only game in town, how he now he has Fight Island out in Abu Dhabi. So they're going to start working some stuff out there, because he wants to fly some of his fighters out. He hasn't been able to use a lot of his fighters from Brazil. He hasn't been able to use a lot of fighters from Scotland and all those places or whatever. So out there, he's going to be able to be loosened up a little bit more with travel. He's going to bring that out huge. So good thing to talk to Michael about, you know, Combate Americas, because they were just getting rolling. They were getting on Access TV. They were just starting to get the ball rolling as far as building up a fan base, you know, for the Combate Americas when all this COVID-19 hit. So it'll be interesting to talk to him and see what he thinks about getting back. I don't know when exactly they're going to start letting, I know they're going to start being able to tape some stuff and do something without live audiences or whatever. Dana kind of set the precedence for that. So I think they're all going to feed off of that and be able to start running some shows. Dana White in his press conference said he doesn't see live shows. And he's just talking about UFC. I don't know if he's talking about everything, but sports in general. But no live shows till probably the end of the year. So who knows? I mean, but if we can protest with 20,000 people in downtown LA, I don't know why we won't be able to do, you know, a show, an independent show with about 200 people or whatever. So we look forward to talking to all of them about that. So with that being said, as we wait for Michael again, I don't want to butcher his name, Michael Aframowicz, to give us a call. Actually, at about the 10-minute mark, I'll take a break and shoot him a text and let him know that we're ready for him. But, you know, talking a little bit about that with my relationship with Lucha Central, you know, I got to tell you, not just because, you know, they brought me on or whatever, but I was working for another company and they were one of the few companies that was open armed as far as like, yeah, bring your stuff down. Let's do some live broadcast or whatever. I went to both of the Lucha Expos, the one that was in Vegas, which was cool. I mean, I thought it was awesome. I really thought it was a great place because like Kevin likes to do, not only mix the Lucha Libre, but he had the pro wrestlers. He had a bunch of guys from who were working for TNA at the time and everything. And it was great. It was the way they did it, they had some time, you know, because usually you get maybe 15 minutes with the wrestlers trying to sell their merch before they have to wrestle or whatever. So they had plenty of time to talk. I was able to get a lot of people on that first one. And then when he had the second one in San Diego, which was a little bit closer, we were able to take all the equipment and do some live broadcasts and go live. And I had a lot of people. It's when you get to the Lucha Expo, this is the chance for a lot of the wrestlers, since they have time, to sell their merch. And then they'll say, hey, man, watch my table. Let me go do this live broadcast over here. So I was able to get a lot of live people on there, which was really cool. So I know they were just about to go to Philly to go do the next one. But of course, with all this COVID-19 hitting and all that, that kind of threw a monkey wrench in the spoke. So I talked a little bit to Kevin back and forth. And, you know, they say James Brown is the hardest working man in music or whatever. Kevin Kleinrock is the hardest working man in wrestling, period. I mean, there's no downtime for that dude. He's constantly working. You know, when you go to the Lucha Expo, if you see him for 2 or 3 minutes, you're lucky, because that dude's everywhere. I mean, he's just constantly going from booth to booth and, you know, checking on this and making sure that this is getting done and all that. But I highly, highly recommend when the Lucha Expo does come to your town or when it is available or whatever, I highly suggest, not just because I'm working for them now, but I've been to both of them working for another company, and it was spot on. I mean, there's never a dull moment, always a good time. And it's pretty cool to see the wrestlers, you know, kind of out of their element, you know, kick back and talk with them a little bit. And, you know, very, very receptive. A lot of cool merch. And that's one thing about Kevin too. He likes to bring them out so that when you buy their merch, that money's going right to them. You know, it's not going, you don't have to pay for shipping and all that stuff. It's really, really cool. So I highly recommend that you check it out. So with all that being said, I'm going to shoot Michael Amfrowitz a text, let him know that we're ready. But before we get to that, let's bring on Denise Salcido and talk about some of the other happening shows right here on Lucha Central. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slam and Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mass, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans: will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also, Thursday and in Español, the number one Spanish language wrestling podcast in the U.S., La Mesa de los Márgaros, is all new. And Triple A Exotico Mamba pulls up a seat at the table. On Friday, we've got one of the top Lucha Libre podcasts on the U.S. iTunes charts, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one wrestling podcast in Mexico, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. Get all the latest news on the road to Lucha Libre restarting in Mexico, plus a check-in on the top names in Lucha Libre and U.S. promotions, including WWE and AEW. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, and please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week. You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
How about that Lucha Central Podcast, huh? Number one on the charts. It's cool, man, that you can have a Lucha radio talk show in Espanol, and you can have a regular one because there's so much going on. It you know, I pay probably close to $200 in cable bills just because I have to see the wrestling from Mexico. I have to see the wrestling from Japan. You know, I have to catch all that stuff just to stay up on it. And of course, you know, when you watch it, Lucha Libre can't go wrong at all. I mean, it's always slamming, even from the top to the bottom. It's a trip because the for lack of a better term, which real quick before we get onto that, you're here with Fabi Chulo, and we're on Wrestle Boss Podcast with Fabi Chulo. Make sure you check us out every Tuesday. Today's a special Wednesday show, but check us out every Tuesday from 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time till 8:30. Going to be talking some pro wrestling, going to be talking some MMA, you know, as well as whatever comes up. I got a lot of people. I got a lot of messages, got a lot of emails of people who want to come on and check out the show. So hopefully we'll be able to fit them all in. It's a trip because you go an hour and a half and it seems like it's a long time, but it, you know, once it gets rolling, it just keeps moving. And I already put a message to Michael to go ahead and call whenever he's ready. So as soon as he calls, we'll go to him and talk about that. Now, speaking on pro wrestling, and before we wait for Michael to give us a call and talk a little bit about Combate Americas, you know, I talked to Ricky before we got on, you know, told him and booked him and stuff like that. And we're talking a lot about the state of wrestling right now, especially for the independent guys who are not working. But not only them, the only ones that are running right now, of course, WWE and AEW. Now, New Japan had a press conference that they're working steadily to get their stuff back on the air. Pretty sure that they're not going to be able to have a live audience, but they might. I don't know exactly what they're working out there. We'll have to maybe get Rocky Romero on soon. To Rocky, if you're listening, let's go, buddy, get on here and maybe you can give us a lowdown on that. So with that being said, that's, you know, they've also come out here and done a couple of shows at Long Beach State at the Pyramid, and I got invited to both shows to check those out. Now, for some reason, the first one drew really well. It was a really good show, and you can't go wrong with them. Those guys can get down. The second one, for some reason, didn't draw as much as the first one. I don't know if it was because it was new or whatever. It did well, but it didn't do as well as the first show. So that's why I want to get Rocky on, talk a little bit about that, because I know they want to come back over here. They did some shows in Dallas and San Francisco, places like that. Hopefully, they're going to come back out here in the new future. I'm a huge New Japan fan, you know, as well as all the luchas, because I've been doing it for so long. At the first expo that was in Las Vegas, I caught Ultimo Dragon coming out of the bathroom, and he, you know, his line was slamming. People want to take pictures, and I talked to him for a few minutes. We're talking about like Superboy and a bunch of different people, and talking a little bit about, you know, wrestling as you become an older person. And the dude's still in shape, man. You know, he wrestled over there. He looks like he can go like any minute. He wouldn't tell me how old he was, which is cool. I mean, because that's what it's all about. But again, another reason to go check out the Lucha Expo, man, when you get a chance, because that was actually one of the things I got to do. Got to get some people off guard, talk to him. And Ultimo Dragon was, I've been trying to get that dude for years, and to be able just to have a chance to talk with him real quick. I didn't get him on air because he was kind of walking as we were talking or whatever, because he had to get to his booth. But it was cool. Then the super crazy Psicosis, Ricky Banderas, guys like that, you know, I was able to talk to him. We couldn't get him on air just because they were going in and out and getting to their booths and getting ready to wrestle and stuff like that. But the thing that was cool about that is the first one and the second one, which, you know, I don't know if Kevin and Ruben get together and figure this out, but they mixed a lot. Hold on a second right here. Hello, Michael. It's Fabiano. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. For the people listening, so you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can always check out LuchaCentral.com for all the latest information. But on the line with us right now, Michael, I don't want to butcher your last name, but do you pronounce it Aframowitz?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Ah, perfect. Hey, I got to tell you, man, that, you know, I was talking to Kevin. He said, hey, you know, I really would like to get Michael on because, you know, Combate Americas was doing so well before all this COVID-19 hit and everything. I'm like, man, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Combate Americas. And real quick, before we start talking about the Combate Americas and, you know, where you guys are at now and being on Access TV and everything like that, talk a little bit about what got you interested with them, because I know your background, you know, coming from K1, Glory Kickboxing, you know, and which are huge companies, Bellator. What got you? Well, first of all, did they approach you, or did you say, hey, man, I really like this Combate Americas, let me go talk to them and see if I can work with them? Or how did all that come about?
Well, it's a good question. I was just coming off a run at Strikeforce. The company had sold to the UFC, and I was introduced to Campbell McLaren, and he had the idea for Combate. So I said, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's start the company. So we started it, and it's been, you know, a hell of a ride. We started as a reality series originally, a 10-episode
right.
reality series on Mundos. And then we got into the live event business, and, you know, we went from, switched media partners a few times, eventually made it to Univision. So now we're on, broadcasting cable, in Spanish on both Univision and, TUDNA, as well as in English on Access TV. And in Mexico, we're on Televisa, Canal 5, and TUDNA there. So it's the largest cross-border deal, I think, in combat sports history. But, you know, it's been quite a journey. It's been now, I think, seven, 8 years we've been at this. And I think, you know, we've worked really hard to put together a really good product for fans and to, you know, bring in new fans that we've identified through Univision and TUDNA.
Oh, and I agree 100%. Well, you know, this is just me. I'm an older guy or whatever, and I kind of see how everything's going. A lot of things are going to apps and stuff like that now. But when I was on another show, which was strictly MMA, to me, I like the fact that you know the sport itself is on Access TV or something like that, because the guys get the exposure. A lot of people like me aren't hip to apps and stuff like that, which you are on the Danzig. You're still on the Danzig app, right?
On DAZN? No, we're not.
I'm sorry about the DAZN.
Yeah. We're on Access TV now in
right.
English. That's our English language partner. So DAZN was our English language partner. Access TV is our English language partner now.
Okay, see, that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, you don't have to download an app, or you don't have to do certain things. Because me, I got kids, and like my 25-year-old, I'm like, hey, can you help me get on this app or whatever? Here, you just put it on, for us, it's channel 340, Access TV, and it's there. And that gives the guys a lot more exposure. You know, if I'm on the radio and I say, hey, tune into Access TV on Saturday night, you're going to see such and such fight, the people just tune on in and there. And it gives them a lot more exposure to a lot more older people like myself who necessarily don't either want to buy the app or don't know how to work the app or whatever. So to me, that's huge. I mean, I really think that's a big selling point as far as bringing MMA to the forefront when they could just go to a channel and check it out. Now, with that being said, some of the fights that I've seen there, I got to tell you, Zoila Frausto has been a friend of mine for quite some time, and she got moved over to Combate Americas, and I knew, I said, man, they must know what to look for, because I know she's a beast or whatever. So that being said, you know, to me, that makes a big difference too. You know, the person who's doing the matchmaking and the company as a whole, when they can see the fighters and go, man, if we bring this fighter and put it up against this fighter, this is going to be fireworks. So to me, that's what's making Combate Americas what it is. And then, of course, when you've got the Latin market and you've got the Latin fighters who, you know, just really have that, for lack of a better term, like that chip on the shoulder that they just want to get in there and start swinging and really make, you know, a good fight out of it. Was that a huge like selling point that you wanted to get out there for the people watching?
Yeah, I mean, we have the saying, you know, fight like a Mexican, you know, which you could see, you know, in our style of fighting is somewhat different from the style of fighting you see in other MMA organizations. Our finish rate is somewhat higher. The style of fighting, it is more an emphasis on the stand-up fighting, kickboxing, boxeo, Muay Thai, and Taekwondo than you see elsewhere. It's just, you know, part of our DNA.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're on Wrestle Boss with Fabi Chulo, and we're talking to Michael Aframowicz, who is the Senior Vice President of Communications for Combate Americas. Make sure you check them out. Now, I know we're doing taped stuff or whatever. We still got that going on Saturday nights on Access TV, right?
Yeah, that's so it's Friday nights.
Friday nights, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Univision is also airing the tape, you know, shows until we can be back live on the air.
Univision. Well, with all that being said, also, you know, this COVID-19's got to be it's killing everybody. You know, it's sports as a whole. You know, it's really hard. And it kind of does make a big difference, you know, when you have that audience and the fighters can pick up on it or whatever. Now, you know, Dana set the precedence. You know, he's actually been able to do the fights. And, you know, I watched the press conference and he says, you know, it's not as easy. You guys just see the finished product. You don't know what we have to go through just to get the show on the air. So you guys have to be working hard to try to get, you know, your stuff back on the air. So as far as, you know, today, is there any sort of headway that you guys are making to get the live shows back on, or is it going to be a little while? What's the state of it right now?
Yeah, we're putting together a plan now. It's pretty comprehensive. And we've been going over it weekly, running through it over and over again and you know, making adjustments. But the plan is, you know, bottom line, the plan is to get on sooner rather than later, and we're taking steps towards it.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure that first show is just going to be huge because people are dying for it. I mean, they just, you know, it's cool to watch it on TV, but there's nothing like being at the live event and checking out. It's a whole different ballgame when you go out there and check it out live. Now, let me just tell you this real quick. I don't know if you've heard about this or whatever, but when they first announced that Tito was going to fight Alberto Del Rio, people were like, hey, man, you know, Tito's going to kill him. Are they making a joke or whatever? But I have been trying to get Tito Ortiz on one of my radio shows for literally almost 7 years. And, you know, I'm too busy. I can't. When that fight was announced, he came on. And that was the first time I was able to get him on for a long time. And he said, hey, you know, people are saying that. He goes, but people don't understand that, you know, Alberto Del Rio is no joke. He fought in Pride. He fought against Mirko Krokop. You know, he's a legit fighter. And if I don't take this seriously, you know, I'm going to get my ass kicked. I mean, that's literally what he said on the show. So it didn't quite go as, you know, as really as it could have went. You know, I think it could have went a little bit longer. Maybe if Alberto would have tried to close the distance, maybe grab him for a little bit or whatever. Now, ever since that show, I've been inundated with emails and messages and stuff like that. First, will there ever be a rematch? And then second is, will Tito maybe fight one more fight for Combate Americas, or is he just completely done? Or have you heard anything about that? Has they approached you at all or anything like that?
I don't think, you know, it wasn't competitive enough to be to warrant a rematch.
Right.
Two, you know, I think that he'll fight. He has one more fight left on his contract with Combate. So you know, chances are you'll see him back in there fighting for us. I'm not sure who the opponent will be yet, but, you know, with COVID and everything, it's throwing everything out of whack. So we're trying to just get back on the air. And what we've got is we're going to throw in several new show elements, and you're going to see a different type of show, I think, than you're used to seeing in any MMA, let alone Combate. And so, you know, that's been our focus. But with Tito, I think you'll see him back in there one more time for us.
I definitely look forward to that, man. I think that'll be huge. And I think that'll be great for Combate Americas, for him to get out there, get that, get that one last fight or if he wants to continue, because that's always a big draw. I got to tell you, man, I think you guys got something here. I think the fights, you know, the way they match him up and with that Latin culture where they just get in there and start swinging. People know if they put their hard-earned money down to buy a ticket for Combate Americas, they're going to get their money's worth. Or if they check it out on Access TV. I've checked it out, and I think it's great. I think you guys really got something there. And whoever's doing that matchmaking, you know, knows what they're doing, which is a huge selling point. So is it CombateAmericas.com that they can go to check out the information?
Yeah, absolutely. And have a YouTube channel, too. You type in Combate Americas, and, you know, you can watch a lot of our old fights. We also have a Pluto TV channel. It's, you know, it's 24/7 Combate programming. It's called Combate World.
Combate World. All right. We'll make sure that the people go and check this out. A huge thank you for coming on. I know you got to be busy right now, especially trying to get everything back in order. We definitely look forward for Combate Americas to come back on. For the people listeners, if you want to check it out, go to CombateAmericas.com, and I'll give those other YouTube channels and stuff like that towards the end of the show. Mike, I so appreciate you coming on. We look forward definitely for Combate Americas when it comes back on. So when it, you know, when everything's set and ready to go, just shoot us a text or a message or whatever, and we'll make sure we plug it on this show. All right, my friend?
All right, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, you got it. Michael Aframowitz, everybody, make sure you check out CombateAmericas.com.
Lucha-Mask.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Mask.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited luchacentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
How about that, Michael Aframowitz from Combate Americas? It's cool that we were able to get him on so we could talk to him for a few about that. I'm telling you, man, if you haven't checked it out, you definitely have to. The matchups that they have are huge. I mean, they just come out and they get sweet. I think that smaller cage that they have is what sets them apart. You know, UFC starting to use that smaller cage now too. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You have nowhere to run. I worked for King of the Cage for almost 4 years, close to 5 years, and they have a travel cage. And when they use that travel cage, there's nowhere to go. You turn around and that dude is right there. So you have no choice but to fight. So we appreciate Michael coming on and giving us, you know, all the lowdown and all that. I'm going to try to give Ricky Reyes a call right now. Hopefully, I'm telling you, man, when I got to run the board, I try to put the numbers in, make sure that it comes up. So hopefully this will be Ricky and we'll be good to go. Talk a little independent pro wrestling. Actually, East Coast pro wrestling. Let me make sure I got the right number here. Uh-oh. Hey, Ricky, are you there? Hey, can you hear me? My brother, I think he picked up the phone right after we didn't give him a call back again. Sorry about that. Let's try him one more time here. All right. That's what happens when you go live. Anyways, I'm talking about that short cage. You got nowhere to run. I'm telling you, you got to check it out. See if Ricky picks up this time. I shot him a text, let him know we were going to call him. What the hell's going on with this guy?
Your call.
All right. Well, I check and make sure that I have the right number. Let's talk a little bit about, I have a list of news of stuff that I usually talk about when I have some downtime. And, you know, when I'm going through stuff or whatever, and I go through my emails and I go through my messages and stuff like, especially when they said, hey, man, you know, we know you're going to be on Lucha Central and stuff like that. Can you please talk about Nia Jax? Now, I don't know about you guys, but Nia Jax, to me, has been quite dangerous. I don't know if hold on a second. I think we got, let me see if Ricky's back here. Hello, can you hear me? Hello. Let me see what's going on here. Sorry about that. Anyways, talking about Nia Jax, we're talking a little bit about how she hurt people. And I know she did a buckle bomb. And well, first of all, she smacked Becky Lynch full in the face or whatever. So I know that was, you know, she got in trouble for that. But then a lot of people are saying that she, the reason that they don't bust her or get mad at her or whatever is because that she's The Rock's cousin. To me, don't matter. If you're hurting, and then you see what she did to Soraya Kai or whatever her name is, open a big gash in her head or whatever, that's three strikes. To me, three strikes and you're out. I don't care who you are. If you're hurting people, that to me becomes an immediate liability. So to me, get rid of her. I'm sorry, man. I'm sure. And plus, I don't know, WWE must be getting soft because they didn't put up with that stuff, you know, back in the day, hurting people and stuff like that. They get rid of it. Well, I know they banned the buckle bomb, I guess, because of Seth Rollins, you know, when he hurt Sting and stuff like that. I think if you know how to take care of somebody, it shouldn't be a problem. So to me, get rid of her. I'm sorry. Anyways, that was one of the big things that they were talking about. Was the buckle bomb with and then hurting people with Nia Jax or whatever. But to me, if you're hurting people, you should be gone. So 267-2-7-6-8-6. Yeah, that's the right number. I don't know. Ricky knew we were calling. I don't know what's happening. I'm going to try him one more time. Let's see if we can get him on here. We'll try him one more time. If not, we'll move on, and then we'll see if he calls back. I would leave a message, but it goes off right after the goes off, so. Okay, he's not answering. Hey, Ricky, if you're listening to the show or whatever, feel free to call in that number that is just that was just on your phone there. Go ahead and call that back when you get a chance so we can talk a little bit about independent wrestling. Now, before, hopefully Ricky's going to call back, Ricky Reyes, who was Cortez Castro on the Lucha Underground. Hopefully he'll call back. Want to talk to him a little bit about that, about if he's got any word that, you know, that Lucha Underground is going to come back. Hopefully it does. I thought it was pretty cool. Working for an MMA-based radio show, they were smart because they invited me to come down when they first started to check it out, you know, which is smart because the more exposure that you can get, the better. So I thought that was pretty cool. I went down there. But the only thing that, to me, that wasn't cool was I wanted to talk to Ricky Reyes. I wanted to talk to Little Cholo. I wanted to talk to a bunch of different, like the people who are trying to get up there or whatever. I can't remember, there's a whole bunch of different independent guys that were there, but we were only allowed to talk to Conan. We were only allowed to talk to Chavo Jr. And I can't remember who else, but we were only allowed to talk to the big stars. So when it hit lunchtime, they had a lunchtime and they were going to have some matches so you could check them out or whatever. When it hit lunchtime, I saw Ricky Reyes and I saw Little Cholo and all them. I went, hey, what's up, man? You start talking. They literally grabbed me and said, no, you can't talk to him. You can't. And I said, no, I'm not putting anything on the record. No, I can't talk to him. So they pulled us away. I think Vandal Drummond was with me too. He was trying to get some people and they kind of pulled us away and said, no, we want you to talk to these people. These are the only people that you want to talk to or whatever. So I was like, all right, cool. So then you get to go in and take a picture with Mil Muertes and somebody else. I can't remember who it was. So I went in to go take a picture with me. They had a photographer there. She was supposed to email you the pictures after, and they never did. So it was pretty cool. I was talking to her, hey, man, I think you guys got something here. This is pretty cool. I said, yeah, cool. So I was the last one that was coming out. So as I'm going out of the ring, I didn't know he was behind me. So, you know, you gotta kind of squat down and go over the second rope, and then you kind of throw your back leg to get kicked him right in the nuts. For the people listening to me right here on WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo, TV does that dude no justice. He is huge. I'm 265, 270. He's got to be close to 3 bills because that's a big dude. And my heart, and I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, I'm cool, man. I'm okay with it. I got up that ring, and Ricochet and Conan were right there. And they're like, dude, I know, man, I'm sorry. You kicked him out. I said, yeah, I know. So anyways, that was my Lucha Underground story or whatever. Kicked him square in between the legs and was scared to death. I thought he was going to kill me, but he was really cool about it or whatever. So, you know, hopefully that comes back. I thought, it seems like with the COVID-19 that's going on right now, that would be the perfect time to bring him back because they could do the tapings. They could put it out. That's some more wrestling to watch since there's no live shows. And it's not only AEW and it's not only WWE, NXT. By the way, NXT with El Hijo del Fantasma winning the Cruiserweight Championship, I thought it was great. I thought it was huge. I'm like, oh, thank God that dude's been. So when Kevin Kleinrock and Ruben Zamora did the second Lucha Expo, he was there with his father, who can still go. I mean, he could still get down. And I thought him and Ricky Banderas and La Máscara, I thought those guys were the three hardest workers over that weekend. They put on a show, and I was glad to see him finally go over that belt. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, I don't know. He might have to drop it to some new booty or something like that, but I think that's cool. I think they should keep it on him for a while, and he'll get them to the promised land. Now, with that being said, watching Monday Night Raw, you know, I'm a huge Andrade fan, you know, from back in his days in CMLL with the Los Ingobernables, so I wanted him to keep that belt for quite some time, but he dropped it. But I got to tell you, man, this is coming from me, who's been in the business for many years. I personally think Apollo Crews is one of the best wrestlers going today. And I'll stand by that. That dude has got skills. I have a hard time watching Monday Night Raw. But when Apollo Crews comes out and I watch that dude, I'm like, that guy's got skills. That guy could go somewhere. If they maybe give him a manager, maybe like a Paul Lee or something like that, that could talk and get him and turn him heel and get him out there, I think that dude could take over the world. That guy's good. When he was UHA Nation, when I saw him wrestle at PWG as UHA Nation, I was like, man, this guy's got it all. I mean, this guy's got skills to pay the bills. So although I didn't want Andrade to drop the belt because I love the luchadores in WWE, dropping it to him, I didn't feel so bad. Anybody he wrestles makes really, really, he makes them look bad. He wrestled the John Moxley when he was over there and before he left for AEW, you know, and you could just tell that he was like, dude, this guy's way too much for me. And I mean, he lit him up, and you know, knowing that the other guy's going over and Moxley goes over and that was it. And you could just see in his face, like, he's like, damn, I was in a train wreck. So right here on this debut show, that's the one thing that I'm saying. Apollo Crews right now, to me, best wrestler going today. That guy's got skills, and that guy has a future, depending on who they put him with. You know, if they bury him like they did Nakamura, nothing we can do. But, I mean, the guy's even if they don't push him and he rides out his contract and he goes back to the independents, he's going to be huge. That guy is awesome. I'm telling you, he's got the skills to pay the bills. So let me take a quick commercial break. I'll try Ricky one more time. If not, we're going to move on to Rick Hahn. So we'll be right back after this. But before we do that, let's go back to Denise Salcido and check out some more of the bad, you know, I was going to say badass. I'm sorry. Of the hot Lucha Central shows. Take it, Denise.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slam and Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans. Will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also, Thursday and in Español, the number one Spanish language wrestling podcast in the U.S., La Mesa de los Margaros, is all new. And Triple A Exotico Mamba pulls up a seat at the table. On Friday, we've got one of the top Lucha Libre podcasts on the U.S. iTunes charts, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one wrestling podcast in Mexico, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. Get all the latest news on the road to Lucha Libre restarting in Mexico, plus a check-in on the top names in Lucha Libre and U.S. promotions, including WWE and AEW. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, and please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Yeah, Lucha-Masks.com. Hey, I'm telling you, with this all this COVID-19 or whatever, that's the thing now. Everybody's sporting their masks. Those masks over there are slamming. You got to check those out. I mean, because then you can go and stuff. It's pretty cool, too, because even if you're like a luchador and you don't want anybody to see your face, you just put that on, put your hood up. Nobody knows who you are. So it's pretty cool because they got some pretty cool style. So you definitely want to check that out. We'll make sure we plug those, of course, at the end. I don't know what happened to Ricky. Hopefully he's okay or whatever, because he was supposed to come on. I'm going to try Rick Hahn real quick so we can talk some mixed martial arts and some judo and some hip surgery. Hopefully, you know, he'll pick up, unless it's something for me. I mean, I'm dialing the right number, I hope. I mean, I got a bad habit of that. Hey, Rick, it's Fabiano. You're live on Wrestle Boss. Are you there, my friend?
I can hear you. How are you?
Ah, good. It's good to hear. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at Lucha Central Podcast. Make sure you check that out. And you're the Wrestle Boss with Fabi Chulo. And on the line with us right now, good friend that I, you know, when I have my debut show, I like to have people on who know what they're talking about. And Rick Hahn is, and it's a trip because I follow him on all social media or whatever, and we have a little something in common. So I said, let me get him on here so we could talk a little bit about, you know, hip surgery, judo, and the state of MMA and stuff like that. So real quick, before we get going to talking about all that, how are you, my friend? I know you're like in your second or third week of hip surgery. How you doing right about now?
Doing good. Yeah, week number two, finally feeling a little better. The pain kind of subsided a couple days ago, and that achy pain that just wouldn't go away. So
yeah,
feeling much better. I can sleep now, and started rehab today, which went well.
Yeah, that first to me, that first, because I've had them both done, and that first week is just a killer, man. It starts to get a little bit better, but I'm going to tell you what was my worst part of rehab and you know, getting back to walking and stuff like that. But before we do that, you tell me, so far since you've had your hip done, what's been the worst part, like walking or whatever? So far, what's been the worst? Getting in the car when the rehab lady and helped me get in the car, that sucked, but it was glad to be outside. But what about yourself?
Right now it's not too bad. Like, I can move it. You know, I'm walking without crutches now.
Yeah.
I'm a little ahead of schedule on that. But like the first week, just trying to like roll over in bed or something like that, or move it. It was, you know, you flinch too quick. You know,
yeah.
It's just like you about cry.
Well, lucky for you, you're in shape. I'm fat. So I, you know, it took me a while to get those first 3 days. They suck because, you know, you kind of don't know what to do. But then when the rehab lady or physical therapy came over, she kind of shows you how to take your one foot and put it under your ankle, and you can kind of move and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. But my worst thing was, you know, I'm Mexican. All my neighbors, you know, most of my neighbors have been the same for like 20 years. So the worst part is when they take you outside. And you're all dirty and, you know, like you're wearing sweats or whatever. Now, when I went out there so she can go walk me in the walker up and down the sidewalk, all my Mexican neighbors came out and literally put lawn chairs and stuff in the front yard. And they're going, hey, mira el Denny. Hey, pues bien el Denny. You know, like, he's outside. Come and see. So I have to
cheering on.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, can we just go back up? So that was the worst part for me, as the whole neighborhood came out. But, you know, me, I've been a pro wrestler for years. And then, you know, I started training jiu-jitsu. And I got to tell you, man, I had a different type of surgery done. I had to pay quite a bit of money out of pocket just so I can have some more range of motion, you know, and everything. And it took me a while to get there, but now, you know, I can actually roll and everything. Believe me, I don't spar that hard or whatever, mostly technique, and just keep working and keeping my timing. Now, you, as a judo practitioner, I mean, you think you're going to be able to get, because first of all, before we get in, let me tell you, and I'm going to be honest, I think I was honest with Rick when he was on my show before. I didn't believe in judo. I thought, man, you don't need that. All you need is your wrestling and your jiu-jitsu so you can take them down and you can, you know, submit somebody or whatever. But when Rhonda's mom did a seminar and I saw her, she's a little woman. And my radio partner at the time was pushing 300 pounds. And I said, there is no way he's going to crush her. And, you know, when I saw her dig those hips in and take him over, I mean, I said, I guess that's the first thing I said. Let me go over there. So I went over there. I said, let me see if you can do that to me. And bam, I mean, she dug those hips in. And once she digs them in and your feet are off the ground, she just owned you. And then bam, I was on my back. So ever since then, I've been a true believer in judo. So you yourself, is that the game plan, just to get yourself back so you can keep training? Or what's the game plan for you as far as your judo, you know, not experience, but your judo practitioner?
Right now, because I'm not doing like much judo training anymore.
Right.
Just because I have my school, right? So I'm teaching a lot at my school. I don't have a lot of time for training. So if I do any training, it's really just jiu-jitsu.
Right.
So, you know, I probably won't be going too hard with the judo stuff in the future. But, you know, depending on, you know, how I heal, I've been talking to a lot of people who've had it done and, you know, where they're at and, you know, what I can do once I'm 100%. You know, my doctor says, you know, I can go back to normal. You know, so I can go back to fighting. I can go back to jiu-jitsu 100%, but, you know, not for about another year or so, I think.
Oh yeah, it took me about a year and a half just to be able to get back into the swing. And the thing is for some reason in your mind you're like, man, I don't want this to pop out of the socket or whatever. That kind of stays in my head. But I literally went to a sports therapist who will stretch you out, and you get scared. You think it's gonna pop out. She's like, no, that's just scar tissue. I'm breaking it up. Don't worry about it. And once I did that and she loosened it up, I was good. So it takes a little while, and you got to kind of stick to it, and then it does get better. And then, like I said, somebody like you who's in shape and who's always in the gym or whatever, it's going to come a lot easier to you. So, you know, definitely I see nothing but good things in the future for Rick Hahn. So, you know, real quick before we continue, for the people listeners, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo, and we're talking to Rick Hahn, talking a little bit about coming back from injury and things of that nature. So like you said, you know, you're still training people and everything. Now with the COVID, I know you're out on the East Coast. With the COVID and everything, are you allowed to have your students back in the gym? Are you still doing virtual? How's that going?
Yeah, so last week was our first week we're allowed to have students back in the school. So that's really awesome. You know, we have a lot of protocols we got to follow still. You know, only 10 people on the mat at once, and we're going to maintain, you know, the social distancing. But, you know, it's so much better than, you know, we were surviving with the virtual stuff, but, you know, it's just not the same as having, you know, people in-house. So, you know, so week two has been going good. A lot of people are coming back, so it's great to see.
And so when you had that first day, was there a ton of people that were just itching to get back in the gym, or did it was a slow and steady process, or how was that first day?
We have, you know, everyone on, you know, every area of the spectrum. You know, got some people that are still going to wait until, you know, things kind of calm down. We've had people that are just from day one that just be like, we're like, you know, let's get back to it. So, you know, week two, I've seen an increase from week one, and I'm sure from week three will be even more. So, you know, so we're just posting a lot of pictures and just telling everyone, you know, we're obviously doing everything safely, you know, we're cleaning really well and, you know, just following all the guidelines. So we're one of the lucky, you know, states, I guess, because I know there's a lot that haven't allowed that yet.
Yeah, I guess, you know, especially out here in California, because, well, here's the thing that got me, you know, I haven't been able to go to the gym and to go train, and I've seen a lot of people, one of the guys from 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu who owned downtown Long Beach in California, they burned his whole place up for no reason. You know, you're not going to get anything from there. You're not going to get any money or nothing, but just to be whatever, they burned it down. But the jiu-jitsu community as a whole really helped out and got him, you know, got him some those GoFundMe things or whatever, and got him back, and he's slowly starting to rebuild. Because I'm sure it's the same way in the judo community. The jiu-jitsu community or MMA or whatever, it's like a family, you know, and if something like that happens, they're really willing to help out because they want a place to train and they want a, you know, place to go. Now, you know, especially somebody like Rick Hahn, who's well-versed in judo and stuff like that, what I see a lot of times, because believe me, I've been to so many different dojos, judo, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. Some of them can come off as a little bit intimidating. Like I've been in a few, oh, man, these guys look, you know, like they can go. And then there's some that look like they're a lot more friendly atmosphere. But I was talking to Alan Goez, and he goes, you know, I have to keep it family, you know, friendly. You know, I don't want people killing each other. He goes, because, you know, if somebody comes in here and gets intimidated, that's one more person that I'm going to lose or whatever. So how about yourself? I mean, I know you have a kids class and stuff like that. So if I'm going to come down to check out, you know, Rick Hahn, judo, jiu-jitsu, whatever, tell, like, do you have a first day where you can come and train for free and check it out if you like it, or how does that work?
Yeah. So, I'm just kind of intimidating and looking to begin with. So you know, when people first meet me, I'm kind of, you know, I just have that look, I guess. But, you know, obviously once they get to know me and I can talk with them, then, you know, that changes. But, yeah, so definitely we kind of keep it, you know, we don't call ourselves a gym because, you know, I teach a lot of different things. We have karate, kids karate, right. We have jiu-jitsu, we have judo, adult jiu-jitsu, and Muay Thai. So we don't call ourselves a gym. In our way of thinking is a gym is something where you go and you just kind of brawl and you bang heads and there's a lot of gyms around there. And those are like, to me, is like intimidating. So like the average person, they walk, you know, that's going to intimidate them. You know, there's cursing, there's people with shirts off and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's like a gym. So, you know, that's not, you know, really family oriented. And we obviously want to be family oriented because most of our students are children. So, yeah, you know, we definitely follow a lot of, you know, guidelines and protocols. You know, there's no swearing. Everyone's very respectful and very nice. And, you know, it's very, very important. I think, you know, when you're teaching children, you don't want them to be in that atmosphere of, you know, just kind of like that meathead atmosphere. It's just not the way to go.
Right. And it's true. Like, if you walk in and see somebody coming out with a bloody mouth and all that, they're going to be like, man, I'm not coming in here or whatever. So you got to be cool with that. But real quick for the people listening, you're here here at WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo. Don't forget, you can always check out LuchaCentral.com. Check out all the latest shows and stuff on that network. Make sure you check that out. We're talking to Rick Hahn, talking a little bit about training and, you know, different dojos and stuff like that. Now, do you still, I mean, have you been keep? Well, right now, the only thing that's going is UFC. Are you still keep up with it and watch it, you know, when it comes on?
A little bit. You know, I also teach some MMA fighters, coach some MMA fighters. So we have a small team. Some guys are on the local scene and they're working their way up to, you know, the UFC, you know, they're on the radar now. So, but in terms of watching a lot of the fights, I don't watch a lot of them, you know,
not like I used to.
I'm out of the scene now just cause I'm not fighting anymore, you know? So, if there's a big fight or a big pay-per-view, you know, I'll go and watch it at some friend's house. But I mean,
yeah.
I did watch
well,
the one that was a couple weeks ago. You know, that was some exciting fights.
Well, you know, this is what I've been preaching. I'm gonna run this by you and tell me what you think. You know, when I was working for King of the Cage, you know, we had a huge cage that we used for the big arena shows. You know, and then we had a travel cage for when you're doing the small, like the casinos and stuff like that. And I saw a huge difference. When that cage is smaller, there is no running. I mean, you are right there. You have to fight. So on the last few fights, since they've had to move the UFC to a smaller venue, since there's no audience, they're using the smaller cage. I think it's the one they use for the Ultimate Fighter or whatever. And I have noticed a huge difference. I mean, they have to come to fight. There's no – that cage, the big cage that they use, when you can turn your back and literally run from your opponent, to me, that's too big. And I've always said, man, if they just shorten that cage a little bit, I think it would make a big difference. Not that I'm this great person or whatever, but I've noticed that the fight, you know, you can't run like you used to. You're right there. You have to fight. So to me, first of all, have you noticed that? And second of all, in your opinion, you think that it would benefit, especially, you know, because if you get somebody up against the cage, you know, and you dig those hips in and toss them over, that's going to benefit you even more. So it seems like that smaller cage, you have to know your judo and your Muay Thai and all that, because you're going to get pressed up against that cage. Do you kind of find that, or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I fought, you know, in some really small cages, like in local scenes, and then I fought in the Bellator cage, which is enormous because it's like basically a circle. It's not an octagon, so it's I think even bigger than like the UFC cage, which is enormous.
Yeah.
So a smaller cage definitely, I think, you know, benefits like the grappler type person, the wrestler, so they can, you know, they want to tie up, and, you know, having more room is going to benefit a striker, so they can move around, they can escape, and things like that. So yeah, you're definitely going to see more action in a little bit smaller type of a cage.
Yeah,
but you know, at the same time, like a super big fight, you know, I think the bigger cage is probably better for that.
Yeah, you think it gives it more like a more fight atmosphere, or it'll benefit the two main, like somebody like a Chuck Liddell, you know, where he can move and hit, and, you know, like that. It seems like, or like an Anderson Silva, that would benefit them a little more because they can move. But somebody, you know, who wrestles a little more, or judo, when you want to get them up against that cage, it just seems like it would benefit you more or whatever. But I guess, you know, it's funny because Bellator has the big ramp or whatever, so it kind of brings it in a little bit more or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, have you ever done a fight where there hasn't been like minimal people or whatever? Because to me, it seems like it's weird with no fights, or I mean, with no audience or whatever. It just seems like kind of like a sparring session or whatever. Do you think that makes a big difference, or if you, once you're in there, you're not even listening to anything anyways, you're just fighting?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I haven't fought with a really small crowd. The closest thing is one of my fighters fought on the Contender Series last summer in Vegas. So there was really not that many people in the audience. So that was the closest thing to having like no one in the crowd. There was only like maybe 100 people, less than 100 people probably. So definitely strange, but you can hear everything.
Yeah. It's funny because on the fights too, you can hear them. You can hear the instructions. You can hear them if they're talking mess to each other or whatever. It is a whole different feel or whatever. But anyways, real quick for the people listening, so you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo, and we're talking to Rick Hahn. Talk a little bit about the smaller cage and stuff like that. So that with that being said, here's the thing I want to post to you real quick because we're running up against the clock. But Here's the thing that I want to pose to you. This is why I bring people like Rick Hahn on. And this has happened on my other broadcast before when I was just doing strictly MMA podcast. You know, I can't remember which fight it was. I think it was the light heavyweights when Glover Teixeira fought the Smith or whatever. And they kept saying, man, they should have stopped that fight. That corner should have stopped that fight. And we had that posed that question on here many times. And some of the fighters come on here and go, I do not want them to stop that fight, you know, or whatever. And some of the corners are like, you know what? I would rather, you know, throw in the towel, stop the fight, and get fired than to see this kid get hurt. And then I had one fighter come on here and say, well, you know, these referees, some of them I've known, and they've seen my fights, and they know how much I can take. Or whatever. So to me, I'm just in my opinion, because I've never been in the. Believe me, you got to have a lot to get in that cage. It takes. I've seen them for years. You know, working for King of the Cage and you know doing UFC as a media, just being up there. You got to have a lot of balls, for lack of a better term, to get in that cage. So, you know, to me, it just seems like, especially with the last fight with Spencer and Amanda Nunes, they kept saying, well, they should have stopped the fight. You know, and after the fourth round. Because she didn't have a chance to win. She was getting busted up. And I thought, well, to me, I would say, hey, man, let's just call it a night. Live to fight another day. You have nothing to prove. But they let her go back out. Now, you, as a fighter and as a coach, you know, would you rather see them fight another day? Or do you, you know, give that decision to them? Or how would that work for you?
Yeah, there's a fine line there. It's tough, you know, because you have to know your fighter. You have to... you know, be aware of what's going on, you know, because with MMA, you know, a lot of times people come back out of, you know, the brink of death and they come back and they get a knockout and stuff like that. You see that a lot, you know, so, but I mean, you know, I've had one fight when I fought Douglas Lima and my corners threw in the towel and I'm glad they did because I would have had my head kicked off into the arena if I didn't. Because I literally could not stand up anymore, you know, so, you know, they knew that was best and, you know, and, you know, I heard about that fight you're talking about, but I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. So, you know, it's, you know, it's tough. You want, you know, the fighters want to keep going. Most fighters will fight to the death and, you know, and I think it comes down to their corner, you know, not being given in and just being like, you know what, I'm saving your brain. I'm saving your, you know, years in your life. So, you know,
Like when Misha Tate fought Kat Zingano, oh my God, she was just taking knees to the face. And I was like, you know, I mean, it was hard to watch, you know, so I can only imagine, you know, I think they say that's why a lot of father son, like, you know, if the father's the coach and the son is fighting or whatever, that it doesn't work out because you don't want to see your kid get hit like that or whatever. That's what they say, you know, or whatever. But to me, it's got to be rough or whatever. But anyways, Rick, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. That when I have some questions like that, I'm glad I get you on because from somebody who knows, you know, that's why I bring people like Rick Hahn in. So for the people listening to us, make sure you check out Rick Hahn. What's the name of the gym? Rick, real quick. I'm sorry, not gym, the dojo.
There you go. The school, the Professional Martial Arts Academy. We're in Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Professional Martial Arts Academy. All right. Hey, we'll make sure that we'll put that up on the social media. If you want to go down, check it out. They're starting to let the people come back in and train. Man, definitely go down there and go check it out. Hey, Amir, thank you for coming on, Rick, man. I'm going to check back in with you after a while, see how that hip is doing. All right, my friend?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Great to be on.
All right. All right. You got it. For the people listening, don't forget, make sure you check out Rick Hahn. It's Rick Hahn Oley, O-L-Y, on the social media. He keeps everybody up to date on there. Make sure you check him out. All right, my friend, I'll talk to you soon. Rick Hahn, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Ultimo Dragon. Hey, dude, you want to talk about a cool mask? That's a mask. Well, I sent Ricky Reyes a text. Hopefully he's going to pick up this time. So I don't. He might have fell asleep. I don't know what's going on with that. Let me see here. Hopefully he's going to pick up on this one. Man, am I calling the wrong number? The heck is going on? Hey, Ricky, can you hear me, my friend? Ricky Reyes, it's Fabiano. Can you hear me? Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on. This is what I'll do. I'm going to take a quick commercial, okay, real quick. I'm going to send him the call-in number, and then I'll have him call in that, and we'll get him on because there's a couple things I want to talk to him. So just hang on real quick. I'll put you to Denise Salcedo real quick, and we'll get him another call.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slammin' Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans. Will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also, Thursday and in Español, the number one Spanish language wrestling podcast in the U.S., La Mesa de los Márgaros, is all new. And Triple A Exotico Mamba pulls up a seat at the table. On Friday, we've got one of the top Lucha Libre podcasts on the U.S. iTunes chart, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one wrestling podcast in Mexico, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. Get all the latest news on the road to Lucha Libre restarting in Mexico, plus a check-in on the top names in Lucha Libre in U.S. promotions, including WWE and AEW. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, and please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
How about that, huh? You know, I gave Ricky the call-in number, so hopefully he's going to... Oh, this might be him right here. Let me take a look, see here. Hey, Ricky, it's Fabiano.
Hello.
You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
It's beautiful. Real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can always check out LuchaCentral.com. Check out all the slamming shows that they have on here. Debut show, brand new network. So it was probably my fault trying to call Ricky and messing it up, but I gave him the call-in number, and he called back. Ricky, real quick, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, bro. How are you doing?
Dude, you know, I'm doing good. You know, I got to tell you, man, with this COVID-19, you know, it's hard enough for independent wrestlers, you know, to get the people out there and to promote and to do stuff. And then when this COVID-19 hits, and, you know, who knew it was going to last this long? You know, so
right.
You know, it just sucks. But real quick, before we get into talking a little bit about that, and, you know, since this is a debut show for WrestleBuff, we're talking a little bit. You got to be tired about talking about Lucha Underground. But first of all, that's the first things that people send me emails and messages and stuff like that is, do you know or have you been contacted at all if they're going to do a new season or anything in the works?
I mean, unfortunately, that nobody was officially contacted on anything. At least I wasn't.
Yeah.
The handful of people that I spoke with, nobody was officially told anything. I think from the feel of what happened the last season, I just felt like the show kind of outgrew the network, you know?
Yeah.
And it was becoming they didn't want to let it go. They didn't want to allow us to go get shopped around to other networks, and they didn't want to put the money out to you know, keep it going. And it was only getting obviously bigger and bigger each season. There was more and more people in it and so forth. So I mean, you know, unfortunately it ended as all good things do. But the biggest issue I had with it ending the way it did was we didn't close it up. We didn't have a finale, you know, and that was the most, disappointing thing about everything. Cause it's funny. Cause me and Cholo would talk, you know, often about you know, I hope it goes, you know, 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever, you know, but I always told Cholo, you know, I really want to be there. And I feel like it'd be a really cool moment, to close it, to finish it, because we were there from the beginning, you know. So it would be it would have been cool to just kind of you know, to put that explanation point at the end of that sentence and finish it. But nobody did, you know. So it was kind of you know, it was really disappointing for a lot of people, you know, and any fans that I talked to about the show, that even just regular people that casually watched wrestling, they liked Lucha Underground because it was more of a TV series, which was what it was. It wasn't a wrestling company, but you know what I mean. It was more about the stories and the characters and stuff like that. So that was the most disappointing thing to it. By the time season 4 had ended, just the way it kind of looked, I thought I thought we would do one more season. I thought we would take a little bit longer to get some sponsors, but I thought we would do one more and then that would be it. And unfortunately, you know, it never came. Everything in season 4 was leading up to a big season 5. And that's when I thought, okay, well, we'll do one more and that'll be the end of it. And, you know, it never came. So, you know,
ended with a bang. You know what I mean? So everybody goes home happy. But it's funny because I was talking about that in between when I called and you didn't pick up, and I was, you know, not wasting some time, but filling some time or whatever about how I thought that they were very smart when they first started out, because, you know, my radio show was strictly MMA. You know, but they were smart because they said, look, you have X amount of listeners. Why don't you come down, check us out, just plug us on your show, blah, 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 whatever. And I thought that's smart because they're reaching as many people as possible. But that first media day when I got there, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to talk to Cholo. I wanted to talk to a bunch of different people that were there, Benny and all them. But we were only allowed to talk to Conan and to Chavo. And them, and so it kind of okay, I kind of see what you're getting at, but you know, these are the guys that I want to talk to only because I know them. So, but to me, it was smart the way they started off, and they made sure that they hit everybody, and then it kind of gained steam because I think it was might have been the third season when they had Vampiro, and he just looked the part. He was bald, and he had his shirt buttoned up all the way, and it was the more they sent him to see a psychiatrist, and they said, do you have any thoughts of suicide? And they show him going through tables, and he goes, no. So I thought, man, whoever's doing this is genius. They're really picking up steam or whatever. So it's true, like you said, it would have been nice, you know, to kind of go out with the bang and put a period on it, like you said. I thought it would have been pretty cool. So anyways, and I think the network has kind of faded too. I think they're not doing anything anymore. So, you know, talking about that, that's good for you though, because it gave you a good start. People know who Cortez Castro, you know, Ricky Reyes is. And I use you as all the time as the marking stick for these independent wrestlers, because they get one thing, they get kind of content. I hate to sound like that grizzled old veteran, but they get, you know, they do two shows and they think they're a superstar. And I'm like, dude, you've done nothing. I go, Ricky Reyes moved from here to the East Coast to take a chance, you know, and he's still out there to this day. That's a wrestler. That's when somebody is confident in their wrestling skills, you know, to go out there. So since you've been out there, you know, you've made a home, you started a family and everything out there. So right now, I know the COVID is killing people, but right now, how is everything out there? Any idea when you guys might be able to get back to working again, or how's everything out there on the East Coast?
Well, on the East Coast, I mean, where I'm at in Pennsylvania, you know, I'm like where I live is right in between Philadelphia and Allentown. It's like I'm in, it's called Eagleville, Pennsylvania. So it's like a little suburb area and it's real quiet and stuff. It's just like, we're one of the last, counties that are going to be, you know, put into the third phase, the actual open phase. So it's just cause it's like, I don't know. It's just like, I guess it's spreading in our area a lot because we're getting a lot of like the overflow for people from New Jersey and New York. So it's kind of like, cause it's so crowded, you know, like New York was hit pretty bad, you know, with it. So, so like the central Pennsylvania, they're already reopened like back to normal. So it's Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh area, and then then the Philadelphia areas are still, you know, suffering. We're like in the yellow stage right now, which is like, we just got turned into yellow. So it's like, you can go, like you can have food, restaurants can open only if they have like a patio, you know, and you got to eat outside. Yeah. Like you still can't go eat inside. So, as far as like and then we got to deal with the wrestling and boxing commission here to have shows. So like nothing's going to be, so of course, you know, with like high school events and anything that draws big, they're telling them that you can only have half a stadium or half an arena full, you know. So pro wrestling's not going to open until it's completely 100% go, because most people, you know, can't live off of half a house, you know. Even you know, like, you know the drill, like, oh, the house is so light, you know. So so like my last show I did was for the Monster Factory out here, and the promoter Danny came up to me and was like, oh man, they're only letting me sell only 200 tickets, you know, and we usually get, you know, close to double that, you know. And I mean, it was like I walked out and it was like, you know, the whole one side was empty, not even chairs put out, you know. And he's like, you know, he goes, next week this whole thing will be shut down. And sure enough, it was. So it's like, it sucks because, you know, like even once we quote unquote reopen, it's going to be at least another 2 months before people can get it together to start running shows regularly again, you know? So it's like, I mean, right now we just turned into yellow, last week. So they turned us yellow. So I'm thinking we won't be back into the swing of things until September, is the idea right now. So a lot of places are just kind of like, but I mean, you know, on the flip end of it, I look at it like this, like, you know, wrestling, you know, is year round, right? So like, you know, some promoters take certain times off, you know, like they'll take a couple months off in the summer out here because people travel and, you know, not everyone wants to be inside, you know, because the winters are so bad. So I just kind of look at it like this would have been the slower time anyways for a lot of people, and a lot of people won't run during the summers anyways. So I think it's just better everyone just kind of prepare for, you know, September and getting back into a groove then. You know, this way the wrestlers are off, whether we like it or not. The fans are off. They're itching. And they're going nuts, you know. So hopefully when it comes back, you know, full steam ahead. So that's what I'm hoping at least.
And you want it to come back and be full swing. You don't want to come back, oh, some more people got sick and they shut you down again, because that'll throw a monkey wrench right in the spokes. But let me tell you, okay, unfortunately, I'm running up against the clock, but people still know who you are over here on the West Coast, because I always put the question out and I said, well, if I reunited the Havana Pitbulls, you know, who would you like to see them against? I thought they were going to say, oh, we want to see them against the Young Bucks and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, okay. But you'd be surprised. This is what a lot of people were saying. And this caught me off guard. It said the one that got the most, and when I put it out there, was a three-way with the Havana Pitbulls versus Low-Key and Danny Moff versus Joseph and Jacob Fatu, which is War Machine.
Oh, shit.
And when I thought about that, I thought, man, I would pay money to see that. I think that would be pretty cool or whatever, because you hang around with Low-Key and Danny Moff and all them back in the day, right?
Yeah, I still see them pretty often, out here on the East Coast, yeah.
So, look, I'm going to try to make that happen. I mean, I think that would draw money. I mean, seriously, that would Joseph runs out here, and he brought Homicide, and they had a chain match, and that Jacob Fatu is ridiculous. Well, real quick story, I was doing a show up in Visalia with the Tonga Kid, and he had his son, and it was funny because they had a lady that was doing massages, and she put the Tiger Balm if he needed it and stuff, and he wanted to get his little son wanted to get a massage, and he didn't want to take his shirt off, and he said, "Oh, take your shirt off, show him what you got," and patting his belly, so he took his shirt off. And when I saw him at the Lucha Expo in San Diego, I was talking to him, he goes, "That was Jacob," and I'm looking at this big Samoano. I said, that really made me feel old or whatever. So, you know, regardless of being out on the East Coast, they still know who you are out here and would like to make that happen. So, Joseph, if you're listening, dude, let's make that happen. I think people would pay money to check that out. Would you agree, Ricky?
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty sick fight, basically, is what it would be.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty cool. Well, I got to tell you, man, you know, I always talk about Ricky Reyes just because I admire him, you know, taking a chance of going out there. And I say this whenever I have Rocky or I have Ricky on, nobody has paid more dues than them. When they used to come to my house to watch those ECW pay-per-views, and we'd sit them in the back, and it was me, it was Samoa Joe, I can't remember, we had a bunch of people in here, and you know, they had to sit in the back, and it was a bedroom, it was a small bedroom, we'd have to pull Jessica's mattress up, and they would just be there with their shirts over their nose going, "Come on, man." Well, you guys brought In-N-Out or something for your suppose. So I can't remember what happened, but those were good times, man. We all kind of hung out and watched the pay-per-views, and ECW was just on fire back then. So hopefully everything will, I think it's going to turn around. It's going to, you know, start doing well, and we're going to be back up. And I think we're going to start drawing even more people because, you know, people want to come out and check out the wrestling and stuff like that. So we look forward to it. So I tell you, man, what, once they get going out there on the East Coast, you know, just shoot me a text or whatever. We'll make sure we plug it out here so we can get those people going. Working for Lucha Central now, you know, reaches a lot of people. So we'll make sure we plug that, get those people out there. And, you know, I talked to Kevin, but I can't remember if he said the next Lucha Expo is going to be in Philadelphia this year and in San Diego next year, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So hopefully when we get that straight, I'll shoot you. I'll give you a buzz and we'll make sure that we check you out when we go out there to Philadelphia or whatever. So it's going to be huge, man. I see good things in the future, man. It's always a pleasure to have Ricky Reyes on the show. So for the people, this is check out Ricky Reyes. Just put Ricky Reyes in your little search engine on Facebook. He keeps everybody up to date on there of what's going on, whether it's going to the gym or whatever. So once everything gets going, make sure you give me a call or shoot me a text or whatever. We'll make sure we'll plug some stuff on here, and I'll work on getting that match. All right, my friend?
Yeah, definitely, bro.
I think people would pay money. Seriously, we promote the heck out of that, and I think we could blow the roof off of that place. So always nice to talk to you, Ricky. I'll keep in touch, and I'll get back with you real soon. All right, my friend?
All right, brother. Take care. Thanks.
All right. You got it. Ricky Reyes, everybody. Make sure you check him out. I'll be right back after this to wrap it up. Ricky Reyes, everybody.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
No doubt. Make sure you use that head. Big ups to Ricky Reyes. You know, it took me a minute to get him on here, but it's always good to have him on, talk about the East Coast thing. And like I was saying, I was talking to Kevin, and I can't remember, but we'll let everybody know for sure. I'm sure he'll put it out there on LuchaCentral.com when that next Lucha Expo is going to be. I highly recommend that you go check it out. I've had nothing but a blast. My daughter has been with me to both of them, and that's all she talks about. She got some cool pictures with War Beast, and it's really cool. It's awesome to get out there and go get it checked out. So make sure you check that out. Hey, big ups to LuchaCentral.com. Make sure you check them out, as well as Lucha-Mask.com, and, of course, TheChairShot.com. Big thanks for everybody. Don't forget, we're going to be on Tuesdays on the regular. I'll make sure to let everybody know the guests that we're going to have on. I think I'm going to try to get Danny Moff, see what he thinks about that match, if we can get everybody out here. So big ups to Kevin Kleinrock, man, for taking a chance. I think we got something going here. I think we're going to be able to mix it up, get that information out, and have a real good time. So for the people listeners, don't forget, Wrestle Boss with Fabi Chulo going to be on Tuesdays from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be right back here next Tuesday. Make sure you check us out.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.